This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Well, we have certainly covered the gamut today of political blogging. We've talked to the conservative, Chad Dotson, a good friend over at vaconservative.com. We've talked to Kenton Nagoe, one of the state's youngest political bloggers and also one of the most popular at 750 volts. And now we welcome to the studio a local blogger who will cover us the libertarian perspective for us. His name is Rick Sincere. Welcome, Rick.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here, Coy.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for coming in. Of course, just remind folks, Rick's blog is ricksincerethoughts.blogspot.com.
In fact, you can find it even more easily at ricksincere.com.
Oh, well, there you go. I didn't know you could do that. Well, there you go. That's a lot easier. And that's, just remind folks, that started when? You started blogging?
I started
when?
In December of 2004, just before Christmas.
Okay. Now, we'll just start where I started with the other bloggers. Your take on the Senate race. What's going on? What's worked? What doesn't? How does it look from where you sit?
Well, to tell you the truth, I've been surprised at what's been going on. I would have thought that George Allen's reelection was going to be a walk in the park. I knew at the very beginning of the campaign that Jim Webb was a horrible campaigner. He didn't like doing that. And if George Allen loses this election, it will be entirely his fault, because he's just had a misstep after misstep, and Jim Webb's just been sitting there and taking advantage of the situation.
Now, do you support either one, or I don't always ask a man who you're going to vote for, but feel free to say who you support. As a libertarian, you know, you never really know.
Well, I've always felt an affinity to George Allen because he speaks in very Jeffersonian language. What I'm afraid is that there are a lot of grassroots Republicans, not just in Virginia but all over the country, who are very dismayed by the Republican Party's actions in Washington. I think Chad talked about this a little bit.
Yeah, we did discuss a little bit of that in the last hour. There's a lot of conservatives out there who say, you're not representing me. Where is fiscal responsibility? Where is a limited federal government? I'm not seeing that from these particular Republican leaders. And there's been a lot of news shows which have been saying these aren't real conservatives.
I have to agree with that. Those of us who cut our teeth on campaigns with Barry Goldwater and Ronald Reagan are just looking at the conservatives, so-called conservatives in Washington, and wondering, why are they growing the government at a faster rate than Lyndon Baines Johnson did? Why are they proposing and approving all these programs that expand government rather than shrink it? And there's a lot of discouragement out there. And I think that if the Republicans lose control of the Congress this fall, it's going to be because their core voters are sitting at home not voting. And they're not going to go out and vote for Democrats. They might vote for a third party candidate as a protest, but they simply are not going to vote at all.
Because they don't feel like their values, the values that are at the core of the Republican Party aren't manifesting themselves in these leaders.
They think that the Republican leadership on Capitol Hill and in the White House has abandoned the core conservative principles of limited government and, low taxation, lower spending, and getting the government out of the lives of the people. The government in Washington is far more intrusive than it's ever been before, and people who consider themselves to be Goldwater conservatives or Goldwater Republicans are just turning their backs.
Yeah, I've read that a lot of folks, the word is dismayed. They're just absolutely dismayed at what's happened in Washington with, you just don't expect this from Republican leaders, from conservative Republicans.
Yeah, when the Republicans gained control of Congress in 1994, there was a lot of hope that there would be a rollback of the federal monstrosity. It hasn't happened. It simply has not been the case. And having the Republicans in control of both the White House and the Congress has given them a complacency that allows them to do a lot of things that the grassroots simply do not approve of.
Local blogger Rick Sincere is our guest in studio at ricksincere.com, and you're invited to join the conversation. If you have a comment or a question, pick up your cell phone, pick up your phone. It's 977-1070. We'd love to hear from you. Rick, we were talking with Kenton Nagoe in the last half hour. What do you think happens if the Democrats... You know, Larry Sabato came out today and he said he thought the Democrats were going to definitely take the House and very well could take the Senate, even though it might just be by a nose. But what do you think happens should that be the case? Should the Democrats get both houses on Tuesday?
I think if the Democrats take control of both the House and the Senate. As you say, it will probably be by noes, I think, in both houses. I would be surprised if they have more than a 3 or 4 seat majority in the House and perhaps just 1 seat or even a tied case in the Senate. And consequently, I don't think they'll be able to accomplish much, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah. I was just thinking the same thing.
But because of that, they probably won't have a very long lifetime in control. I would say that they will probably not maintain control for more than 4 years. I would say that in the midterm elections of 2010, the control of either the House or the Senate will return to the Republicans.
Yeah. And I am personally a big fan of Christine Todd Whitman, MyParty2.com, the former EPA Administrator Governor of New Jersey. And I support what she says when, you know, here's an example of a Republican who comes out and says, I believe in conservative principles. And, you know, I was pushed out of my party because I didn't agree with all the far right wing social stands that the Republican leadership has taken. And I would like to see the Republican Party return to its core principles and better represent, you know, more of the people that it used to represent. And that her thing has been, you know, we stand to lose a lot of these moderate Republicans to the Democrats. And we're actually literally seeing that happen in this election.
And it's not just moderate Republican voters and conservative Republican voters who are moving over to the other side. You're seeing candidates switching parties this year in places like Kansas and North Dakota. Republicans who may have already held elected office as a Republican who are now running for another office as a Democrat. And I don't think that bodes well for the health of the Republican Party if they're losing some of their most talented people to the other side.
Rick Sincere is our guest, local libertarian blogger at ricksincere.com. Let's change gears here. You know what? Let's get a break out of the way. And then when we get back, let's talk about electronic voting machines, because I know you've done a lot of writing on this and a lot of research. And, you know, we've got a lot of people out there saying we should be very concerned about these things. They're not reliable. There's no paper trail. They're not trustworthy. They're too easily hacked. And yet you don't feel that way. You think that these things actually work the way that they are intended to work. So we'll talk about that when we get back. And if you'd like to talk about this, it's 977-1070. This is Charlottesville Right Now on News Radio 1070 WINA. Rick Sincere is a local blogger, a libertarian blogger at ricksincere.com. He joins us in studio, and let's talk about electronic voting machines. They've gotten really popular. You're seeing them more and more. Very big is Charlottesville, as a matter of fact, one of the first places in Virginia that had what some say are the very best voting machines.
I'd agree with that.
Now, should we believe the people who say these things don't work right and they're too hackable and they're very vulnerable and to be scared about us moving towards them because the companies who control them are going to put in the folks that they want to support?
Well, let me preface this by saying I speak from the perspective as a member of the Charlottesville Electoral Board. I'm the Republican appointee to the board. And so we work with this stuff on practically a daily basis. So we've got a great general registrar in Sherry Iachetta, some terrific technicians who work on these things. And basically, I am convinced that we have a secure system, that it's not really possible to hack into it. What's really important, if you want to hack into one of these machines, you have to gain physical access to it. And we have multiple security procedures in place, including keeping the machines in a locked room that has limited access. And basically, you have to type in a code on a lock, and that lock keeps track of anybody who's in the room.
And it's not like they're plugged in online, so somebody in a basement in Richmond can get into the machines in Charlottesville.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, Charlottesville uses a different system than Albemarle County. Albemarle uses a different system than Fluvanna. There are something like 22 different systems of voting machines used in Virginia. And that's one reason why the system is very much secure, because in order to affect an election statewide, you'd have to know how to change the software or the hardware or the firmware on 22 different kinds of voting machines. In addition, we make sure that on election day, everything is secure. Tomorrow afternoon, for instance, we're going to have what we call the logic and accuracy test, and then we're going to lock down the machines. We put a numbered seal on every one of the voting machines which is not removed until the machines are brought back to our office on Tuesday night, and then we remove the seals, and then we take out the what's called a mobile ballot box, an MBB, and put that in a computer, and that counts all the votes.
And that's the little brain in the machine. That...
Well, it's not really a brain. It's actually a dumb disk. All it does is
record information. Oh, it's going to record them. Okay.
Yeah. And the machines themselves, they have a triple redundancy. Their votes are recorded in three different separate places so that if any one part breaks down, we can retrieve the votes from another part of the voting machine. So we are very confident that in Charlottesville, we have a secure system that has integrity and reliability. And I'd also like to just remind your listeners that in Charlottesville, we do not use touchscreen voting machines. There's been a lot of problems.
I thought you did.
No, they have a screen and you can see, but they actually have a little wheel that's sort of like on an iPod where you move from selection to selection. And so therefore we have even higher reliability than a lot of the touchscreen machines have, which sometimes run into problems in calibration where you might press George Bush's name, but Pat Buchanan's name actually gets recorded. The important thing is for voters to be very much aware that these things don't drop out of the mists. These are chosen through a long process of testing, and both the state and the federal governments have standards that we apply. And so we are very confident that we have reliable voting machines, not just in Charlottesville, but everywhere in Virginia.
Rick Sincere is our guest, ricksincere.com. Do these electronic machines that we use locally give us any kind of paper trail? Because I know a lot of folks out there say, well, I'll use those machines as long as I can get some type of printout and I can confirm to myself that it entered correctly.
We do not currently have that kind of paper trail. Some 27 other states are requiring it. One of the things that was discovered, for instance, in Nevada in 2004, they were watching voters to see whether they paid attention to the paper trail, and only 30% of them even looked at it. although we are anticipating that some kind of paper trail will be mandatory within a few years. The company that makes our machines in Charlottesville, Hart InterCivic, already has a prototype add-on that we will be testing. Charlottesville wants to be on the cutting edge of the new technology. In fact, this year we are using electronic poll books for the first time, which will probably make the lines at the precincts much shorter because everything will be on a computer. But if those computers break down, we've got a paper backup. We've got the regular voter lists on paper that we will be able to use in an instant in case the machines are
not working. So on Tuesday, November 7th, when Charlottesvillians go in to vote, they won't be walking up to these tables where they got those big paper books anymore.
Well, they'll be walking up to a table, but they won't be walking up to a big paper book. What you'll see is you'll have two people sitting at the table with a computer monitor and a keyboard. And you'll give your name just as you normally would. They'll look up your name on the computer instead of looking it up on the paper. And they'll give you an access code, access card that you take over to what we call the JBC. And then you get your access code to go to the e-slate where you cast your vote. It'll be a lot simpler. We, instead of having A to L and M to Z sections, everybody will be A to Z. And it'll be like walking into a bank and, you know, the light will flash on, well, not literally, but somebody will say, you're next. And
you
go out and check in. We think it'll run very smoothly. Our poll workers were at training on Monday night and everybody loves the new machinery. Now, keep in mind, this is a test. If this doesn't work out for us, we won't use it in the next election. We may try to test a different kind of computers from a different manufacturer. But we like this so far. It's really easy to use. I didn't even get any training, and I was able to figure out how to use it.
Rick Sincere, our guest. Rick, did the numbers show, if I don't know if you're familiar with them, but did the numbers show that when you introduce electronic voting machines that turnout goes up or down as a result of these new machines? Are people intimidated by this, in other words, and they stay away or use it as an excuse to stay away?
I haven't seen any figures about turnout, but I do know from the reactions of voters that we've talked to since we've introduced the new machines in Charlottesville in 2002, people are very happy with them. They are certainly far more reliable than the old punch card machines that we used. They're easier to use, they're easier to understand, and you don't have to worry about hanging chads and that sort of thing.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
impossible, for instance, on these machines to vote for more than one candidate in one of those races where you're only supposed to vote for one. And if you try to vote for two, there'll be a warning that comes on the screen and says, you made a mistake. You go back and fix it. And that's really important. And we never have the problem of what we call overvotes anymore. Now, there are still people who don't vote in every contest. They may decide that they don't want to vote, on ballot question number 3 because it's too confusing, or they may not decide to vote for, somebody running for the House of Delegates in, one of our odd-numbered election years because they don't know who the candidates are. But in general, if people vote, they are voting accurately the way they want their votes to be recorded.
And with the electronic machines, you can choose, for example, in what you were just talking about, you can choose not to vote for one of these amendments. There's 3 on the ballot this
year.
Right. You could choose to vote just for number 1, the marriage amendment, and then skip 2 and 3.
That's exactly right. Yeah, you can leave your entire ballot blank if you want to cast a protest vote. And I have seen votes like that. One of the things we can do with our machines is we can look at individual ballots. They're not tied to any individual voters, but we can see a printout of all the individual votes as they're cast. So you might see a combination of voting for George Bush for president, but Al Weed for Congress, and voting yes on one amendment and voting no on another amendment. And
that becomes public record, right?
I mean, that is a public
record. The parties
record.
Could then look at that and
exactly.
see, and they will be.
I think it's a tremendous tool for political parties and their consultants to look at patterns of voting within our community. I don't know whether the same type of software is available in other jurisdictions, but it's certainly something that the Republicans and Democrats in Charlottesville could examine and try to figure out how they can run their election campaigns better next time.
Yeah, really quickly, just your take, because I've got about 30 seconds, your take on the marriage amendment. As a supporter, a Republican libertarian conservative for many years, and supporter of George Allen for many years, your take on this, the Marshall Newman / marriage amendment?
I'm encouraging people to vote no. It's a real unconservative amendment. It flies in the face of what conservatives stand for, because it expands government and it will actually get judges more involved in defining what marriage is than what the proponents say. I think that everyone in Virginia should look at it carefully, read the entire amendment, and vote no.
Rick Sincere, that's ricksincere.com. Thank you very much, my friend. I appreciate you coming in.
I love being here.
Let's do this again.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.